This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Mary Jo Pullen, and this is Diabetic Living. My story, Type 1. There is technology that would have alerted you. We had never heard of dead-in-bed syndrome until the day Daniela died. It wasn't discussed in her 12 years of living with type 1. We quickly learned quite a lot about dead-in-bed syndrome, although they still don't know what causes it. Usually, it is when hypoglycemia or a low occurs during the night when the person is asleep. Sometimes it can be caused by diabetic ketoacidosis as well. Some of the children who have passed have been undiagnosed. But Daniela was well. She loved school. She was doing her HSC. She loved singing and acting. That was her thing. She was vibrant. The night before was just a normal night. We had dinner together. We watched Australian Idol together. She had a hot chocolate as a snack before bed. She came into our bedroom to say goodnight, and we asked her what her blood glucose level was. She told us, and that she still had insulin in her pump. So she said goodnight. I love you, and went to bed. When we went to wake her up the next morning for school, she had just gone. It was the worst day of our lives. We had our two boys at boarding schools. We had to phone the schools. And when they arrived home, there were police and ambulances everywhere. It was just a horrendous situation. We phoned Daniela's endocrinologist, Dr. Howard, to tell him that she had died. We needed a doctor to come to the house and examine her and provide a death certificate. Later, he stood at our breakfast bench and told us, "You know, there is technology in other parts of the world that would have alerted you, and you would have had the opportunity to save her." We decided that day that we needed to do something about this. That's how the Danny Foundation came about. It's not about causing alarm. That's not why we tell our story. We don't want to frighten the parents of type 1 children. But the fact is, dead-in-bed syndrome has been reduced dramatically by this technology. The Danny Foundation has been responsible for having the continuous glucose monitor subsidized for everyone with type 1 diabetes in Australia. After Daniela passed away, many parents who had lost children to dead-in-bed syndrome from across Australia and around the world reached out to us. We made a video, Tribute to the Angels, which is on the Danny Foundation YouTube channel. And we've used that when we've lobbied the government for funding and subsidization. We organized a function at Parliament House in Canberra and made sure we got all the right people there, all the politicians. We set up boards with the stories of the angels. We kept pushing, got the media involved, and eventually we got stage one across the line, which was funding for CGMs for all under 18. That was in 2017, and by that point, we had raised over $6.5 million. In March 2019, stage two funding was implemented for women who are pregnant or planning and people with a health card. And stage three, which was made official around July 2022, was funding for subsidized access to CGMs for everyone in Australia living with type 1. Ideally, the Danny Foundation would like to see all Australians who live with type 1 diabetes have a healthcare card. It is a disease for life. When a child is diagnosed, they do get a healthcare card, but it gets taken away when they turn 16. Having a healthcare card would give people living with type 1 affordable access to a support team to educate them and help them manage their condition. Right now, the foundation is raising funds for insulin pumps, specifically the pumps that work with the CGM. As the funds become available, we grant insulin pump scholarships to eligible families or individuals. Those identified as living with type 1 and unable to afford the technology themselves. To be able to grant someone a scholarship is just beautiful. Once they go through the process of transitioning to this technology, it changes their life. It can save their life. Being able to provide this technology to people who can't afford it is such a gift. It is Danny's gift. It costs $8,500 to $10,000 to provide an insulin pump to one person, and there are currently about 60 eligible people on the wait list. So we do rely on donations from the community. Of course, the CGM can sit on its own without a pump, but many Australians who live with type 1 aren't aware that these monitors are funded or co-funded. And that's the technology that would have saved Daniela's life. She had an insulin pump, but it was the CGM that would have alerted us that she was in trouble. So we are happy we got that one across the line, but there's so much more that needs to be done to pave the way for better, safer living for people living with type 1 diabetes. My story, type 2. It's simply the beginning of a new normal. In some ways, my story starts on Christmas Eve 2015. I'd gone to my dad's house for the night, and when I got there, there was a street party going on. I was running around on hot bitumen all night, and when we went to bed at about 1 a.m., Dad freaked out because there was blood all over the carpet. It turned out I'd developed all these blisters on the bottom of my feet, but I couldn't feel a thing. Something similar happened on New Year's Eve, but I still didn't think much of it. A couple of weeks later, I started to feel unwell. I thought I was coming down with a flu, but I went downhill really quickly, and then the toes on my right foot started to go black. After visiting a doctor, I was immediately sent to my local hospital. They ran a few tests and told me the reason my toes were black and I was feeling so bad was because I had sepsis, which is life-threatening, and I needed to be transferred to the Royal Adelaide Hospital. As well as warning me I should be prepared to lose a toe or two, they also said something about your diabetes. That was a shock. But in hindsight, it wasn't all that surprising either. Looking back, I hadn't felt well for a while. I was going to the toilet a lot, and I always felt tired no matter how much sleep I'd had. Towards the end, I'd also been drinking 6 liters of Coke every day. Lose a leg or lose your life? I was wheeled into emergency surgery at midday on Australia Day, and I woke up minus the 3 middle toes on my right foot. The day after, a nurse taught me how to test my blood glucose levels and how to inject insulin. And I also learned how my diabetes and losing my toes were connected. I stayed in hospital for 2 weeks and had 2 more operations. One to remove my big and little toes, and another to remove half of my foot because they couldn't get the infection under control. I was sent home to heal, but the infections just kept coming. Eventually, after more stays in the hospital, including one where I'd been told to prepare to have my lower leg amputated, but then they changed their mind, they finally did it around Anzac Day. To be honest, after so many months and infections, it was a relief, and I also knew it was a case of lose a leg or lose your life. All up, I was in hospital, including inpatient rehab, for about 6 weeks. My biggest achievement was going into rehab in my wheelchair and walking out on my prosthetic leg. A repeat performance. When I started getting ulcers on the bottom of my left foot about 4 years later, I panicked. I visited my podiatrist and was initially told it was superficial, but I wasn't convinced. Then they started talking about how I needed to stay off it for a month. But when they wanted to remove some bones and told me I might only end up losing a toe, but they couldn't be sure, my reaction was, nope, you said that the last time. Just take it off below the knee. I couldn't go through all that again. One doctor, who didn't like the idea and was trying to talk me out of it, said, I don't think you realize how life-altering an amputation can be. My response was simply to pull the blanket off my stump. Of course I knew it was going to be more difficult as a bilateral amputee, but I was obviously prepared. Not long after, I got my way, and it was absolutely the right decision for me. Wanting to help others. When I was in hospital after having my first leg amputated, I had a peer support visit from Limbs for Life, an organization that empowers amputees. It wasn't counseling or someone telling me what I had to do. It was just someone who'd had a similar experience to me, showing me there's life after you lose a limb. That visit changed my life. What they did for me made me want to give back, and now I'm a peer support volunteer myself. I also represent South Australia on the Limbs for Life National Amputee Advisory Council. Recently, I trained as a support coordinator and founded Amputees Unite, which provides NDIS support coordination services for amputees here in Australia. I know how challenging navigating the NDIS on your own can be, and I also know about the type of support you need as a new amputee. The goal is to make everything easier at what's often a stressful, overwhelming time. At the end of the day, I just want to help others like others have helped me. It's that support that can help you realize having an amputation isn't the end of your life. It's simply the beginning of a new normal. Let's do lunch. Say goodbye to dry, boring sandwiches. These healthy and delicious lunchbox ideas are perfect to take to work or school, or as a make-ahead option, to grab from the fridge at home. Let's start with a falafel lunchbox. Prep 10 minutes, serves 3 as a lunch. Begin with 1 1/3 cups of cooked quinoa, 1 handful of baby spinach leaves, 1 cucumber chopped, 3/4 cup of cherry tomatoes, halved, 2 carrots grated, 1 pomegranate, seeds removed, 6 olives, 12 store-bought falafel, 3 tablespoons of hummus, 1/2 lemon cut into 3 wedges. Divide the cooked quinoa between the lunch boxes. Top each with the vegetables, falafel, and 1 spoonful of hummus, or divide the ingredients between the compartments of a bento-style lunchbox. Put 1 lemon in each box for squeezing over just before eating. Nutritional information per serving, 361 calories. Protein, 11 grams. Total fat, 14 grams. Saturated fat, 2 grams. Carbs, 38 grams. Fiber, 18 grams. Sodium, 643 milligrams. Carb exchanges, 2.5. Glycemic index estimate is low. Next, we have BLT pasta salad. Prep 10 minutes, cook 15 minutes, serves 1 as a light meal. Begin with 1 ounce of dried pasta boughs or gluten-free pasta boughs. And I think that refers to what we call bow tie pasta. 2 cooked crispy lean bacon pieces broken up. 1/2 cup of baby spinach leaves chopped. 6 cherry tomatoes. Halved, 1/2 tablespoon of light cream cheese, 1/4 teaspoon of whole grain mustard or gluten-free mustard, and some freshly ground black pepper. Cook the pasta in a small saucepan of boiling water, following the packet instructions until al dente. Run under cold running water to cool quickly. Add the bacon, spinach, tomatoes, cream cheese, and mustard to the pasta. Season with pepper, spoon into an airtight container, and keep overnight in the fridge. Nutritional information per serving, 280 calories. Protein, 21 grams. Total fat, 8 grams. Saturated fat, 4 grams. Carbs, 28 grams. Fiber, 2 grams. Sodium, 1,100 milligrams. Carb exchange is 2. Glycemic index estimate is low. Next, we have a recipe for super salad wraps. Prep 5 minutes. Serves 1 as a light meal. First ingredient is a tortilla, or gluten-free tortilla. 1 tablespoon of hummus. 1 lettuce leaf. 1 quarter of a carrot, shredded or grated. 4 cucumber sticks. 2 slices of avocado. 1 tablespoon of fresh tomato salsa, or chopped tomatoes. And 2 tablespoons of grated reduced-fat cheddar. Begin by laying the tortilla out flat on a board. Spread the hummus on the bottom third and put the lettuce on top. Arrange the carrot, cucumber, and avocado in a bundle on top of the lettuce and spoon the salsa on top. Sprinkle on the cheese. Fold the bottom of the wrap up just over the filling. Fold the sides in and then roll the wrap the rest of the way. Cut in half or into pieces. Place straight into a lunchbox, or if halved, wrap in wax paper first. Nutritional information per serving, 335 calories. Protein, 12 grams. Total fat, 18 grams. Saturated fat, 6 grams. Carbs, 27 grams. Fiber, 6 grams. Sodium, 658 milligrams. Carb exchange is 2. Glycemic index estimate is low. And the lower carb option would be by replacing the tortilla with a low-carb wrap, such as one of the commercially available low-carb wraps, and potentially bringing your carb count down from 27 grams to 14 grams. Next, we have Odie fruit slices. Prep 10 minutes, cook 1 hour, makes 16 pieces, 1 per serving as a snack. And you can pop a small piece of an Odie fruit slice into your lunchbox for a guilt-free sweet treat for when the 3 o'clock slump arrives. We begin with a quarter of a cup of light margarine, plus a little extra for greasing. 2 tablespoons of no added salt or sugar smooth peanut butter. 3 tablespoons of honey or maple syrup. 2 ripe bananas, smashed. 1 apple, peeled and grated. 1/2 cup of hot water. 2¾ cups of rolled oats. 1/2 cup of dried apricots, chopped. 1/2 cup of raisins. And 1/2 cup of mixed seeds. And the recipe used pumpkin and sunflower. Begin by preheating the oven to 140 degrees centigrade fan forced, or 400 degrees Fahrenheit conventional. Grease and line a 8-inch square tin with baking paper and put the margarine, peanut butter, and honey in a small saucepan. Cook, stirring over medium heat until melted and mixture is well combined. Add the mashed banana, apple, and hot water. Mix to combine. Put the oats, apricots, raisins, and seeds into a large bowl. Pour in the banana mixture and stir until everything is coated by the wet mixture. Dip the mixture into the cake pan and smooth the surface. Bake for 55 minutes or until golden. Set aside in the tin to cool. Cut into 16 pieces and store in an airtight container in the fridge. Nutritional information per serving, 176 calories. Protein, 5 grams. Total fat, 7 grams. Saturated fat, 1 gram. Carbs, 23 grams. Fiber, 3 grams. Sodium, 17 milligrams. Carb exchange is 1.5. Glycemic index estimate is low. And you can keep this in the fridge for up to 3 days. Our next recipe is for chocolate orange energy balls. Prep 15 minutes. Makes 18, 2 per person as a snack. We begin with 3/4 cup of pitted medjool dates, 3/4 cup of pecan nuts, 1/3 cup of pumpkin seeds, 1/2 cup of rolled oats, 4 tablespoons of cocoa powder or unsweetened cocoa, 2 heaped tablespoons of almond spread, and the zest and juice of 1 orange. Place all the ingredients and 3 tablespoons of the orange juice in a small food processor. Blitz until chopped and starting to clump together. If it's a bit dry, add a drop more orange juice. Use lightly oiled hands to roll the mixture into walnut-sized balls. Pop 2 into a lunchbox for a snack. Nutritional information per serving, 209 calories. Protein, 5 grams. Total fat, 14 grams. Saturated fat, 2 grams. Carbs, 16 grams. Fiber, 4 grams. Sodium, 17 milligrams. Carb exchange is 1. Glycemic index estimate is low. And lastly, we have lunchbox pasta salad. Prep 15 minutes, cook 15 minutes, serves 4 as a light meal. Our first ingredient is 7 ounces of pasta or gluten-free pasta, 2 tablespoons of pesto or gluten-free pesto, a small zucchini chopped, 1/3 cup of green beans chopped, 1/2 cup of frozen peas, 1 tablespoon of fat-free mayonnaise or gluten-free mayonnaise, 2 tablespoons of reduced-fat Greek natural yogurt, the juice of 1/2 lemon, 3/4 cup of cherry tomatoes, quartered, and 4 ounces of cooked and peeled small prawns, or 2 ounces of reduced sodium ham or gluten-free ham chopped. Begin by cooking the pasta in a large saucepan of boiling water for 10 to 12 minutes or until al dente. Drain and tip into a bowl. Stir in the pesto and set aside to cool. Meanwhile, place the zucchini, beans, and peas in a shallow microwave-safe dish. Add 2 to 3 tablespoons of water. Cover and cook on high, 100%, for 2 to 3 minutes or until tender. Drain well and set aside to cool. When the pasta is cool, stir through the mayonnaise, yogurt, lemon juice, zucchini, beans, peas, and tomatoes. Spoon into lunch boxes or onto plates and top with the prawns or ham. Chill until ready to eat if intended for a packed lunch. Nutritional information per serving with prawns, 282 calories. Protein, 15 grams. Total fat, 6 grams. Saturated fat, 1 gram. Carbs, 40 grams. Fiber, 4 grams. Sodium, 395 milligrams. Carb exchange is 2.5. Glycemic index estimate is low. And the nutritional information per serving with ham is 306 calories per serving. Protein, 17 grams. Total fat, 7 grams. Saturated fat, 2 grams. carbs 41 grams, fiber 5 grams, sodium 355 milligrams, carb exchange is 2.5, glycemic index estimate is low. Tip of the iceberg, 5 tips for freezer management. You get out what you put in. Freezing won't improve the quality of your produce. Don't freeze old food because the point of freezing is to keep it at its prime. Freeze food in realistic portions. Cool before you freeze. Hot food increases the temperature of your freezer, which will use up more electricity and could cause other foods to start defrosting. A full freezer is more economical to run. This is because the cold air doesn't need to circulate as much, so less power is needed. And lastly, if there is a power cutoff or you think the freezer has been turned off at some point, don't open the door. Foods should remain frozen in the freezer for about 24 hours, leaving you time to get to the bottom of the problem. Well, that's all we have time for today. I will be back next time with more Diabetic Living. I'm Mary Jo Pullen. Have a terrific day.